you get the crazy people thinking, like, oh, how do I know you have anything on underneath there? Would you say that to your male colleague, the pastor before me?
No. Not that. You'd say other crap, but not that.
Five pastors walk into a bar. Sounds like the setup for a joke.
Although I did get a, are you naked under your robe comment this past week. Because it's the first time I've worn a robe at our church. And they're like, oh, your robe, are you naked under there?
Right.
I always go with not.
Interesting.
I always go with, I've stopped wearing my robe as much.
I also got a couple weeks ago, I got a, and not particularly hot today, Pastor.
Really?
Yeah, from one of our older ladies.
Really?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you when it's coming from the older ladies.
My older ladies don't like my bangs or they don't like my hair, so I get barrettes left on my desk.
No.
Yes. And I finally said to somebody, I said, I figured out who it was, and I went up to her before worship and I said, these are not appropriate.
Okay.
And called her on it, and she was just...
Welcome to Faith Biscuits. I'm Don Shrum. Today, five clergy walk in to have lunch and a few drinks together at the Breckenridge Brewery in Santa Fe, and some interesting conversation ensues.
Oh yeah, the people in church want to
as a poke
female,
at you.
They want to touch you.
Make sure you're
like,
real.
You're like my granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like my daughter. Oh, it's like it's awful.
You know, I think there's some questions I have for you all and how to, you know, just kind of chatting about what we're doing here and what wants to kind of emerge.
Matt's a pastor at a local Presbyterian church. He's our convener. It was his idea to get us together and start talking openly.
That sort
so
of
if
thing.
I'm an internal processor, this isn't the best thing for
that. No.
Well,
hold
that's
on.
Why we're doing
hold
this.
On just, 15 minutes I know, while I
we'll just kind of process out loud for a little bit, and then if you guys feel like it, we can launch into a topic and just roll with it and see how it goes.
Should we call it like pastoral day drinking, or what should we?
I call this it's communion.
It's communion.
I refer to this as communion. Oh, so
yeah.
if some of my parishioners were to hear that from Connecticut, they would absolutely know what I was talking about.
Gretchen serves a church in Arvada in northwest Denver area. The five of us are sitting around a table on the porch, a brightly lit area of the Breckenridge Brewery, and getting ready to find out what we want for lunch.
Remind us again of the special today?
The special?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The weird sandwich.
Ah.
This sounded great.
It's the
Frankenswine's
Monster.
Frankenswine's. I think I'm going to change my Halloween costume.
Yeah, I'm ready to hear it.
So that's Bloody Mary aioli. It has four pieces of Munster cheese, ham, bacon, and salami. There's the swine. Chopped pepperoncinis and tomatoes.
Is it hot or cold? Is it a hot?
It's a warm
sandwich. It's a warmer sandwich. Okay.
That's me. I'll take it.
You got it.
I'm on it.
Me too. I'll take it too.
This is just kind of like a first go around here, and I've had individual conversations with all of you, but it's sort of like one of those things where we all know this group of people that it's really fun and really life-giving to have these conversations, and also really kind of like challenging and sort of like truth-telling and all of those elements. You know, and really the idea is just very organic, open, and loose in a lot of ways. And it's sort of this idea about the art of conversation, the lost art of conversation, and this hunch that there's alchemy that happens when the right people come together and talk and can kind of speak their truth. But there's the heart of the matter that is something that's intrinsic to each one of you guys that needs, there's that truth that also needs to be spoken, that to varying degrees we let others see that gold, but this is a place to really let that gold and some of the shadowy pieces shine too, and to not to be afraid of that. So
just to disclaimer would be like, you don't speak for your church, you don't speak for your church,
yes.
You
here we
speak
go.
For you.
Yeah. My church knows yeah. that I'll speak for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, like that.
I'm Gretchen, who happens to be a pastor and happens to serve
right.
at said location.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I happen to be a minister and I happen to serve a church.
Yeah.
And part right. of my work.
I would love to see this be a place where you can
my
sort of take off all the
yes.
kind of residue mm-hmm. of our political climate and our ecclesial climate and all that other kind
of
stuff.
A lot of residue here, man.
Yeah. I'll try.
And just like show
don't
up.
You,
and
to that point, though, to the point of that, they're like, don't you kind of get to this point where you're like, I'm tired of like you've been like you wear that mask for a long time, and then there's this point where you're like, fuck it, like
yeah.
this is gonna be me leading, and this is me doing what I do,
yeah.
and either get aboard or not, and that's
that was
just
me.
Who
yeah.
I
that
am.
That was me Sunday.
Yeah.
I was like, you're getting pissed off, Pastor, on Sunday. Like people think. I was like, I'm pissed.
Right. What's sort of like pastoral version of I'm going to wear purple, except it's like I'm going to speak blue.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, like, I'm tired of kind of
just. That's a good
line.
I'm tired of being
purple. Pretending
and
playing
yeah.
about, like, wearing kind of political hats. You know, there's a yeah. point where I'm like, enough.
Jay has served a number of churches and currently serves one in Littleton. He has a fascination with language.
I want to do one podcast called Christian to English Dictionary.
Fun.
Where
I like that.
The whole thing is we take like those stupid things Christians say
yeah.
and we translate it into English.
Yeah.
Right?
I love it.
Isn't that great?
That's
yeah.
awesome.
And so they'd just be really short. They'll be like five to eight minutes of like, okay, when someone says, hey, we've been wondering about your spiritual walk. In English, that means,
are you a Christian?
Yeah. In English means
you don't
no
fit my standards.
The theological
yeah.
line of our congregation.
Right.
We're
yeah,
worried.
You gotta do it. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome.
Then Justin takes a moment to give us a commercial.
We're at the farmhouse at Breckenridge Brewery here in Littleton, Colorado.
You should come and do the tour sometime.
Definitely should
it's
do
great.
A tour. Shout out to Todd and Terry Usery, who are some of the owners here at
oh.
Breck Brewery.
Hey.
Love those two, and thanks for having us here today.
You should be a public speaker.
No,
you
no
know
kidding.
That? Like,
you
could
maybe make a living.
I should.
Yes.
That.
You should.
And P.S. it's not just a brewery. It's,
yeah.
it's great food here. Every time I've eaten
fantastic
here, it's been fantastic.
Food, yeah.
It's like gourmet. Like, I try to explain to people, this isn't like burger
no,
right. fries.
It's
like good
food. It's farm-to-table
gourmet. It's like really good
and food.
In the summer. They have live music out
yeah.
here. It's gorgeous. These rooms are all open. It's really fun vibe.
They're dog
yeah.
friendly.
Yeah.
They're family friendly.
My kids love
you
to come
bring
and play.
You can
play
bocce. You can play
and cornhole while you're
yeah.
drinking
yeah.
yourself into a hole. It's
I
so
would
great.
Say
yeah.
I wish. I wish like Germany, they built a playground.
Yeah,
like the real beer gardens. Real beer gardens in Germany have playgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Todd,
the
build
kids
a playground
yeah.
for next
the
year.
Kids the Germans there. Got something figured out.
Yeah, they do.
The ancient Northern Europeans. that's where it links with communion for me is the mead, right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
sacred drink of the Northern Europeans
mm.
was not
yeah.
wine. It was beer and it was mead. And
yeah, man.
What was local to the custom and what
uh-huh.
they could ferment. And...
Well,
yeah.
A slightly mind-altering beverage that was part of the...
Of course he's going to start talking about mind-altering.
yeah.
isn't
so
he?
What else is mind-altering
exactly.
over
there's
there?
A segue.
We're making fun of Matt because he's so well-read and he has such wide-ranging interests that don't always fall easily into the category of Christian.
Well, this is fun.
Happy Halloween.
Happy
oh,
Halloween.
Yeah,
Halloween. Yeah. Happy Halloween.
Matt actually taught a class last night about reclaiming All Hallows Eve
yeah.
and
so
the
what,
Day of the Dead.
So tell us, what was that about? Tell us how you reclaimed it.
Well, I just wanted to push the envelope a little bit and drop into Samhain, the ancient Gaelic festival.
How do you spell that?
Samhain. Samhein.
God bless
Watch
you.
Watch Outlander.
Like
you, can, you can see all about it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The Outlander series. It's all about that.
We've gathered for lunch on Halloween, actually, and Matt is telling us about Samhain. Samhain. Samhain, a Gaelic festival that marks the end of the harvest season, celebrated October 31, November 1, and starts the darker half of the year. Yeah, I had to look it up too.
So that's actually that's our closest relative to the Halloween that we practice in, you know, cultural form here in the United States. But it's really kind of the Celts had these four basic festivals, you know, throughout the year that coincided with actually not the agrarian agricultural calendar, but actually with the herds, the cattle and the different herds. So they're you have the winter and summer solstice at December and June, but then the four major seasonal shifts or thin times are Samhain in you know, October 31st, November 1st. You have Beltane in May, which is kind of the spring festival where the calendar shifts back to the light side of the wheel. So Samhain is actually entering into the dark half of the year. Mm. And it's a thin time. It's a time when the veil is permeable and those from the other world can come and travel to this world and vice versa. And so a lot of our practices at Halloween are a derivative in some form and fashion of Samhain.
So we had this one guy in my neighborhood in South Carolina who was a Presbyterian and was on their session. And he was from Scotland. And whenever my kids would trick-or-treat at his house, he would always make my kids come inside and sing him songs. Is that like a thing? I don't know. He said we could sing whatever we wanted, but we had to sing a song.
Wow.
Because it's trick-or-treat and you should offer up something.
Oh,
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, Joe.
Like a Scotch thing. Right?
We thought it was great. I think everybody else was really annoyed by it.
That sounds like fun.
We were like,
they have to earn their candy.
So we sang Living on a Prayer.
Nice.
They did Country Roads once, which was pretty great.
Right.
Yeah.
Take me home.
He's like, if you want to have some candy, you've got to come inside.
Very good. Got
to. Did he give good candy?
And then he gave us
candy.
And
you're Lutheran. Right? You're pulling this off.
We got haggis.
You're listening to Faith Biscuits. This episode is called Five Clergy Walk Into a Bar.
My main area of study has been kind of postmodernism and millennial culture and how the new wave and burst of information has reshaped culture and how we understand culture. And then, of course, that culture seeps into our church, and so that's reshaping our church and how we understand things. And so applying all of that, got a hold of a ministry in Ohio at Ohio State University, and we reoriented that and kind of rethought what that ministry would be like. So we ended up calling ourselves Jacob's Porch. Jacob because our mission was to wrestle with God.
Yep.
And so, like, you know, we weren't... That's so great. We told people all the time when they arrived, we'd say, like, you may leave blessed, but you also may leave limping. Like, our goal of this ministry is not your comfort.
Right.
Like, we're here to...
It's to stick our hand in your hip socket.
Hey, food's here.
Yep,
amen.
Food's here.
Amen.
Amen. I think the irony too about postmodernism is we're living it right now,
right?
And not many of us are aware of that, right?
Right. Well, that's
which
a huge thing
part
for
of
me
the consternation
too.
And I want to know what brings you fully alive. I want to know. You cut out all the bullshit about what people might want to hear and how you might wear a mask and, you know, kind of present yourself, but when you cut right to the heart of the matter of what brings you fully alive. It doesn't have to be a succinct mission statement or something like that. But, but what would you say?
There's a great Bono quote that he says that I'm interested in people either running to God or running away from God.
Yeah.
And the ones that are just kind of like meh about it all, I don't know what to do with that conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, like, if you're not really... Like, I'm much more interested in hanging out with an atheist or somebody really grappling with a spiritual life than somebody who's just sort of like, oh, I don't know, you know, I go to church on Sunday and it seems fine. Like, I don't know how to
navigate
that conversation. So I get most excited about the people who are really just full in on the conversation and also in on the conversation without having to convince one another and be in a place of, see, this isn't debate. You know, I don't want to be in this in debate. It's more about, I want to learn from you and I want to grow from where you are with this. Even if I'm in a complete other space, I want to say, man, how, I understand that you believe in X, Y, or Z. I'd really love to hear more about it. So just to me, like the main thing that brings me alive is I just love the value of the conversation itself, not like the result of the conversation. Unlock and open things up for me to think of things in a new way. And that's the value that I love about a good conversation with people that may not all be on the same page. Yeah. You know, that it makes me go, okay, I've never thought about it that way. And that gives me a lot of room to grow and to become more than what I am right now. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, I'm eating the brisket. What is this called again?
It's the brisket and biscuit mac and cheese, and then we added sloppy joe mix to it.
Brisket, biscuit, what's the name of this one again?
It's Franken-Swine Munster.
I love it. Franken-Swine.
Franken-Swine
Munster.
Is that mac and cheese on the regular menu, or is that like special today?
This
like,
thing
that's
amazing.
This is really good.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah. I had the same reaction, because he's like, hey, I named it first, and then I built it, and I was like, wow.
Cheers.
Really good.
By the way, a shout-out to Brandon here.
Hey, Brandon.
Woo! Fantastic.
We always say at Beer and Hymns, we always say, and they'll know you are Christians by your tips. So tip well, tip loud, tip proud.
Tip often.
And tip often. And tip too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
your extra dollar or two
makes
a huge difference. And it's just a dollar to you. But if everybody does a dollar or two more, like what a difference it makes to their life.
What do you have a sense of what your gift is for the world that's uniquely Jay?
I make a great sangria.
Uh-huh.
And the key is cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Okay.
Cinnamon.
And you have to have a sweet fruit and a sour fruit.
Yep.
In order to make the best sangria.
Excellent.
So
sangria and cinnamon.
Yeah, sangria. Yeah.
Sweet and sour.
So you have to have like, if you have like, if you have like, you have to do like blueberries and not yet ripe kiwi.
Oh. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So that the way it all kind of mixes together and a really good red.
My mouth is a little.
Yeah, so
brandy,
there has to be a little
no
pucker.
Brandy,
for sure.
Okay.
For sure, brandy.
I'm with you then.
It doesn't have to be an expensive brandy. I've tried it with expensive and cheap, and it's all the same. But,
same.
But
Christian
the wine,
Brothers makes great, you know.
But the wine is important. So you can't do a cheap wine.
Yeah.
It has to be. I prefer like a Rioja or a Tempranillo, like a Grenache, uh-huh. like a, so like a good Spanish table
nice.
Red is what you make a good sangria out of.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I'm on it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Faith Biscuits, food for thought for the road.